You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got local, state, national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, well, it's that time. It's Wednesday afternoon, 4 o'clock. That means we go to a segment that we do on a recurring basis. We call it the Grand Council. I bring on two of my brethren in talk radio, both of whom have been doing this longer than I have, and we ping each other with questions and opine on the answers. So let me just call the roll here and see who's present. Do I have Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show and editor-in-chief at 1819 News. You here, buddy?
I am present.
Thank you, sir. Glad to have you. And then from 770 AM, 92.5 FM WVNN out of Huntsville, and also writing for Yellowhammer News, Dale Jackson. Are you here? All right, stand at ease. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, Boomer.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da. All right, we are on, fellas. You know the deal. Jeff Poore, you go first. What you got?
So, as you all are aware, Governor Ivey saying she is now working on an education savings account bill. Everyone's excited about that. But I got me thinking... What would you rather see leading the charge on this, Kay Ivey or Will Ainsworth?
Wow. Dale, you want to go first?
Right now, Kay Ivey. I mean, she's the governor, and maybe she can get it done that way. They still seem to have a lot of reverence for her and listen to what she has to say when she has something to say. So for right now, it's her. But, I mean, he's already come out in favor of that, right?
So is this Dale Jackson? What have you done with the real Dale Jackson? I want to know where he went, because that was the lamest answer I've ever heard you give.
Oh, I'm sorry. I want the governor to come out and say, oh, child, what do you want me to do? You want me to do a voice or something?
I don't know.
Pie? What am I
drink a Red Bull or something, man. I look at it and go, yeah. So first of all, I agree with Dale on the one hand. I think Kay's governor. I don't want to wait two more years. So let's get her done. Step out there and do it. I tell you what, though, I'm hearing it's a little more tepid than we would hope. I'm hearing what they're trying to do is tie this level of school choice to have to be approved by the state school board before it could be, you know, put into place. I think that would be a recipe for disaster. Control. Why not? Control. Answer the masses, but don't really give them any control. That's my fear. So we'll watch and see how it goes. Jeff, your own question. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm real nervous about this Kay Ivey's sudden interest in doing anything. Because at first it was like, well, maybe she's trying to step on Ainsworth's toes or something. Well, why all of a sudden? And one of the tells here, guys, is when she does go do media, it's not just coincidence. Hey, I'm on this media program, which happened to be Todd Stacey's show. I'm going to let this one go. No, this was all planned, I believe.
Well, I mean, I talked to Todd Stacey about that. I think you and I texted this or something, but I think he was as caught off guard that she answered that way as she was that he even asked it. But I can't help but wonder, did she really even have a plan, or did she get caught off guard and have to provide an answer and it went further than she thought it was going to go? I don't know.
Well, I mean, she said a bill. This isn't like gambling and a gambling commission or... You know, we're going to do everything on education. She said her office was working on a bill specifically.
Yeah, that's true. She did. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. All I know is it's a crack in the armor, and I'm hoping that we get through it. But Dale, take the next one, buddy. What you got?
Speaking of crack, Hunter Biden shows up there in Delaware, and he says, yeah, I'll take this plea deal. And they say, a plea deal for immunity for everything you've ever done? Yeah. And she goes, no way. And he goes, not guilty. Now, help me out here. You're the lawyer. He says, I did some of these and I'm pleading guilty, and because that's what that is. And then he says, not guilty. I mean, they can't obviously use any of that against him in court, but that's a bit of a tell. They've got him at least a little bit dead to right on some of this stuff. Will there be another plea deal made?
Will there be? I would suspect so. I think that someone somewhere is going to snatch a knot in his head and say, look, we need you out of the limelight. Make a deal. And he's going to have to make a deal that is not just good for him, but apparently, like we've seen from his emails, he makes a deal that's good for his entire family. But I'm gonna bet right now there will be some other return to the deal. But what happened was they got in court, and the judge was not happy with some of what was laid out. And the judge also felt like some of it was not in her purview to make that call. And the judge also asked the prosecution, is he still under investigation for anything else? Will there be potential for other charges? And they said yes, at which point Hunter Biden's team said, no deal then. They thought that he was going to get the free pass on all this stuff. No, there's more coming, apparently. So we've not heard the last of this Hunter Biden thing. At some point, I believe he will make a deal. They won't want the grand spectacle of a trial. The question is, you know, will it be as sweetheart as it was at first? Jeff?
They're just trying for a deal to pass muster with the federal judge, because both the DOJ and Hunter Biden want this thing to go away ASAP. I guess they played it a little too good to be true for Hunter Biden. But I you know, how often do you get the benefit of having the prosecutor wanting something to go away? And that's what's working in his favor.
Yeah, your own question, Dale. What are you thinking?
I mean, he has defense attorneys apparently on both sides of the table, right? I mean, they're all like Jeff just said, they're all working to get rid of this thing and have it go away. So yeah, that's my thought, is there will be another deal right around the corner. I mean, this is embarrassing for him and for everyone else involved in the Biden administration and all that stuff. Although it's just a private situation, it has nothing to do with anything else. But they're making it clear that there are a bunch of other issues here. So this looks bad for him. But how bad? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, but here's one thing I will add to it. You don't typically get all the way to the point of walking to the presence of the judge to have a deal blown apart. Usually, it's kind of like going in. You never ask the question of a witness unless you already know what the answer is going to be.
So what happened here?
So, that's what's it. Somewhere in here, something got blown up. There is some belief that in the background that the whistleblowers coming out most recently provided new testimony that the judge had not, you know, heard before, and felt like there was more to this and was not going to, because the judge had to sanction the plan or the deal and wasn't going to do it. So I don't know, man. More to come, but I agree. I think there's more to come in this plea deal situation. Okay, I got one for you with a couple minutes left here. So you mentioned Ainsworth and Ivy a minute ago, and I don't know if they're at odds right now, if there's a little bit of, I mean, Ivy can't run against him again. She's going to term limit out, but still, it's not like that, you know, she's going to suddenly be in campaign mode against him, because she just ain't. But there's a whole fuss going on right now about Ainsworth believing that we need to six-lane I-65 all the way through the state, like a big ribbon of concrete through the state. I don't deny that it might be necessary in some places. We get a lot of traffic, especially during the beach season. But then Ainsworth is calling out hard the fact that Ivy has a pet project, $1 billion for a Western corridor through the state that he says is not what we need. Who's going to prevail on this, Jeff?
And in the end, I guess for now, if she could get it done, that's the plan, is Ivy, because she's going to get the Western corridor. But there is I do think we need a six-lane interstate from Mobile to the Tennessee state line. You look at Georgia, 75, six lanes from one end to the other. Same with 75 in Florida. It's Main Street, Alabama, and it backs up. I drive up and down 65 at least 2-3 times a month. It's got problems, and there's no reason that, as Ainsworth says, the priority being a $1 billion road in West Alabama should have precedent over I-65.
Dale.
Yeah, I was going to basically say that I was going to kick it to Jeff, too, because this has been one of Jeff's issues as well. Jeff has brought this up a whole bunch of different times. I think him and Ainsworth, I mean, I'm not saying they're colluding on it, but they're colluding on this and working on it. And I don't think there's any question about that. But, yeah, I think she's in charge of ALDOT, and I don't see her changing her mind and all of a sudden saying, nope, we're going to do this other project instead.
You know, I look at this and think okay, first of all, you heard it here first, collusion between Jeff Poore and Will Ainsworth. But anyway.
I kill bridges and build interstate highways, according to Dale Jackson.
Take the credit, man.
That's okay. He kills alligators. It's all good. But I look at this thing and think, I have to tend to agree that the Western Corridor does not have near the level of precedence in terms of its import and capabilities as what an I-65 mainline would do. I don't know, though, for a fact, and I got to disagree on this, Jeff, I don't know that we need six lanes the entire length of the state. I mean, I think that's overkill, in my opinion.
No, it's not, and I'll tell you why. Because when Tommy Battle ran for governor, and he made a good point about this.
Are you talking six lanes in each direction, or are you talking three and three?
Three and three, that would be six lanes.
Well, okay, that makes better sense. All right.
Yeah, the six-lane Interstate 65, because then you develop it, and there's all this investment along the way on these interstate exits in Georgia. We just don't have that infrastructure. It backs up everyone. No, six lanes in total, not six lanes all the way. But they're building a four-lane highway in the middle of West Alabama, and it's nothing but cronyism. It's a giveaway to forestry and big ag. That is, get goods to market. And then, I mean, it was a play for those guys.
How's it a giveaway to forestry? How does forestry benefit from a major corridor in one part of the state?
Have you never been behind a logging truck in the Black
Belt? Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, you sound like you're gonna build a billion-dollar road because of forestry.
Yes, they do this kind of stuff all the time in the state.
Come on,
they're building a port in. Who's driving on that road other than big ag in this state? Nobody. They're doing the same with the port. The transportation policy in Alabama is very centric around the business community.
Okay.
Can we get back to the 12-lane highway?
I was like, 12 lanes? What the frick we need 12 lanes for? All right, into round one. We got to go to break right now. I got to pay for this show. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. We're with Jeff Poor, who apparently colludes with Will Ainsworth, and Dale Jackson, who's scared of alligators, and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. Jeff, you're up first. What you got, man?
It's pretty clear. I don't know. Maybe it's not so clear, but I think it is that the special master is going to draw Alabama's congressional districts in the end. Tell me what you think of this, guys. I don't know how you draw two minority-majority districts in Alabama and not put Democrats in peril. Are we going to have a situation in November 2024 where Republicans sweep and everyone says, hey, we told you so?
Dale, you can go first on that one if you want to. What's up? Did we just lose Dale?
Hey. I think it would be very funny. Can you hear me?
I can now.
Okay, I think it would be very funny if it did happen. I'm not so sure that that's how this is going to go, although that was one of the things they talked about. They are starting to call out Terry Sewell publicly now, saying, hey, she was cool with where the districts were. She's not happy about this, and I don't see how it gets much better for her because, like Jeff just said, you have to get out there and find those votes somewhere, and there's nowhere to – it's ridiculous that they took Selma – in Montgomery from her. It's like, well, what did you expect them to do?
I know.
What are they going to do? They're going to drive up the highway to North Huntsville? What's the story here? How are you going to do this?
Well, here's the other thing. The special master could come in and totally retweak things in a way that he hadn't expected. You may wind up seeing a whole lot more of Palmer's district moved. You may wind up seeing – he may not hunker down and make all the big changes down in Congressional 1 and 2. And, I mean, I think that's where the majority of it will have to be, no doubt. But he could carve things up in a totally separate way. And so I think this whole thing has been a total crapshoot. But you're right. But, Jeff, I go back to your point. Yes. Right now, as it stands, I think that Barry Moore has got an even chance of winning his district back, even with the numbers being different than what they were. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I he's incumbent and – you know, the big thing in 2024, I think in Alabama, at least, it's going to be a Trump wave. And pair that with the incumbency, I don't see how they can do it. You probably have a low Democrat turnout. It just – things really work out to where you could see it going 7-0 if they try to get too cute with the lines and try to create two minority-majority districts.
We'll see. Dale Jackson, the next question. What you got?
Our best friends at AOL.com have once again decided to use their vast power and legacy mastheads to argue for drug-using moms. Here they are again, how one Alabama county declared war on pregnant women who use drugs, as if that's a bad thing. It's a very strange thing. Have these people lost their moral center? What is wrong with them?
Well, I you know, the thing is, we've got a situation. I mean, they're talking about Etowah County, where I live. What they're basically saying is the law says if you chemically endanger an unborn child, then you have chemically endangered a child. And so, yes, there are people that have been put in jail because they're, you know, they're smoking crack and getting high on meth and doing all the things. And the children are being born with, you know, any number of health issues because of it. And yet, you're right. Once again, AL.com has taken the side of, I don't know, dumbing down society. Jeff?
AL.com is what you get when you let people run a real legitimate news operation like a college newspaper. You get all these wild-eyed, crazy they haven't outgrown their college ideologies that don't really work in the real world. But this is what you get. They haven't outgrown it, and they see that Etowah County is injustice. These poor girls are just victims of society. It's all our fault. Dale Jackson, Phil Williams, and Jeff Poore, right-wing nut jobs, the reason why that they are forced to go use during their pregnancies.
Well, and I think it also just what I tend to see is an anti-Alabama sentiment from Alabama media group on a regular basis. So it's like they look for reasons to say this place sucks. Why do you live here then? I mean, at some point, maybe talk it up. I don't know. Hey, last question. Probably the biggest goat rodeo in state government. The chairman of the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission. Just today, new lawsuit filed. One of many lawsuits against our vaunted new Medical Cannabis Commission. There's a new lawsuit challenging whether he should be allowed to be chairman and should be removed by the court from his position because he's also on the Board of Trustees at South Alabama. Is the Medical Cannabis Commission ever going to be able to issue a license, Jeff?
I've been about 5 years. You know, and I'll tell you what, something I looked into this in other states. They had similar problems, maybe not quite to the extent of Alabama, but this is not out of normal. We just have the same problems, even worse. And what's more interesting to me is that Alabama didn't try to learn lessons from other states before they jumped into medical marijuana.
Well, they didn't. They were too busy jumping on what they thought was a big tax revenue source of what is currently an illegal substance. But Dale?
I want my peach-flavored gelatinous cubes and suppositories, and I want them now. That's what we're going to get here. And it's nice to see them fighting over such a stupid thing. But, yeah, I drag it out. Fight it out. Go forever. I don't really care. This is a dumb issue. My favorite thing is, at the end of all of this, there's going to be so many people like, wait a minute, I thought we were getting medical marijuana, which meant that, oh, my back hurts. Give me some weed. And it's not that, which is going
to
be great.
I'm just going to have to work through the idea of Dale Jackson and peach-flavored suppositories. But there's that.
Those are two separate items. Peach-flavored gelatinous cubes and suppositories.
All right, fellas, I appreciate you both. That's Jeff Poore, FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poore Show, editor-in-chief, 1819 News. Dale Jackson, WVNN in Huntsville, writing for Yellowhammer, and little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.